There's good penalties and bad penalties and unlucky ones. You know, sometimes you're a bit unlucky, you're in a fight at a breakdown and a referee deems you, but there's a couple of stupid ones that are down to just bad decisions from the players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own, he gets the try!
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try for Munster!
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
All right, delighted to be joined on a very special episode of the Red 78 with Rory O'Hagan and Fiona Hayes by the amazing Emer Considine. Emer, you're very welcome along to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Great to be on.
First thing, how long do you two guys know each other?
We played together probably since my first season with Bolts and Munster. And I suppose I played at Munster before I played at Bolts, so I know Hayes since my very first day, I'd say, playing rugby at all. Yeah.
What year was that, Emer? Do I want
20,
to know?
2016 was my first year playing 15s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was my time.
I was winding down.
So took you a while to wind down.
What was Fiona like as a player, and what was she like then as a coach?
She's kind of the same, if that's possible, in that, like, when she gave out to you, she meant it, like, and you listened to her. I'll never forget her saying, if you get in, you get out. And that was like her saying of, like, you bring it into your coaching world and as a player, and she'd have the crap, but you knew when she gave out to you that, like, things were serious. So, and I suppose it's a good way to be in a player and a manager, that you can have the crack when you need to, and you can have a reins on us as well when we need it as well.
And Fiona, what was Emer like then, I suppose, when you played with her and then when you coached her?
Yeah, to be fair, there's one thing about Emer, and I noticed it especially just the last year gone, is she's the utmost professional. I suppose having played at a high level as well with GAA, when I played her, I mean, her speed, her ability in the air from the GAA, her catching ability, I didn't see enough of her kicking, I will say, early days for a GAA person. But certainly in the last couple of years, and with Munster this season, even in training, she'd some boot on her. And just her ability to arrive, be the utmost professional in everything she did. I was blown away this year coming back from injury to see how hard she worked. And I suppose not knowing where she was going, because Emer probably... have a testament to this as well, that, you know, I don't think so, Emer, we were never talking about Ireland at Munster this season, which was only a few minutes before that brilliant run she had. So she was just absolutely working her socks off for herself, and it wasn't with that end goal of Ireland. So to just see someone have that and get just reward was amazing as well.
Yeah, talk to us about that, Emer. You're obviously a dual player with Clare, but some great success as well. So how did you end up playing rugby, I suppose, to the level that you did?
Yeah, well, I just got scouted, I suppose, coming from, it was a time where they were in the Olympics for the sevens with, I suppose, a very small player pool. So they were scouting people from other sports like Lucy Mulhall, Louise Galvin, Hannah Tyrrell, Stacey Flood. You know, there was a lot of athletes that you'd know now as rugby players that started off as in other sports, I suppose, Gaelic football and the likes. So that was essentially why. And then I suppose I never even understood the rules of rugby. I didn't understand sevens. I didn't understand 15s. And even actually understood 15s less when I thought I knew rugby after playing sevens. I knew less when I went into the 15s game. It was a really difficult transition. But like Fiona said, there were so many elements of my football career or the other sports that I played kind of growing up that made me, I suppose, different in other areas like my kicking game or my aerial game. As well as having some other, like, you know, hand-eye coordination skills and, I suppose, fitness levels, speed levels that you get from other sports. So even though I suppose I was late to rugby, there was so many just elements of other sports that were important to me in my career that really helped me, I suppose, get to the top of my career in Ireland.
What was the biggest culture shock, I suppose, going from Gaelic Games to rugby?
Oh my God, I remember Alison Miller and Hazel. There was one, my first day we were training on the Astro behind Lansdowne, and I was holding a tackle bag and Alison Miller came at me and put me back on my arse. And I kind of hold back the tears. I think it was more of embarrassment, but I just never expected the physicality, and which, like, you wouldn't be used to in any other sport that I'd ever played in before. And like, Alison Miller is not the person you want to face up against. You think you're getting, a winger opposite you, and you're like, oh great, this one really kind of avoid the props and you avoid second rows in anything to do with pads, and you get Ali Miller coming up against you, and you're just she I remember she texted me when I texted her to say about my retirement. Because she would have been a massive, would have had a massive impact on my career as like a guidance person, I suppose. She knew I hadn't a clue, and she really helped me. And she brought that up again. She's like, "I remember you were going to make it when you got back up as quick as you were put back on your hold that day." And I actually remember so clearly. She remembers so clearly, but she really did help me. And that moment was like a pinnacle moment. I could have left that day and never come back. But I decided, you know what? That was really embarrassing. I don't ever want that to happen ever again. So let's just right the wrongs the next day.
Yeah, fantastic stuff indeed. But you did come back, so obviously something with rugby just clicked with you, and you obviously enjoyed it, so you kept coming back for more.
Ah, look, I think at the stage I was at, I was playing football in Camogie for Clare. I was working in Dublin, living in Dublin, and I was commuting up and down every weekend trying to do a dual career. And I wasn't enjoying it. I suppose I was getting a bit of, fatigue from traveling a lot, training a lot, and I suppose underperforming too because of all of that. And rugby came at a good time where I was like, you know what? I'll actually give it a chance. If it works out, great. If it doesn't work out, sure, I'll just go back to football in Camogie. It was easy. It was in DCU. I was working in Glasnevin at the time. And it was just, I suppose, all Dublin based, so it cut out the challenge. But also there was the cherry on top that we could potentially qualify for the Olympics, which I suppose as a girl from Kilmahill playing football, never thought that was possible. So, there is a couple of, I suppose, extrinsic reasons why you would keep going. But also internally, I was like, let me see if I can make it at this. And it wasn't easy. And I'll always speak about how hard it was and how you went from being very good at something to really bad at something. And that was mentally challenging. It wasn't even the physical, as much as Ali put me back in that first day with the pad. It wasn't all physical. It was really mentally challenging trying to learn a new sport at that stage of my career. Like I was 23 when I first started playing sevens, and I was 25 when I got my first 15s cap. So you're learning a new sport like late in your career. So it's mentally really challenging. And I suppose the competitor in me wanted to be better, and I hated being bad at something, and I just wanted to be better.
Do you remember your sevens debut?
Yeah, it was my first. So it's my first time ever playing a rugby match was against Canada in sevens. Like, it's not how you want to start your rugby career. Like, you're just thrown into the deep end. I remember Jen Case Chase. Remember her?
Yeah.
She against us, and I was like, I'm so scared because I'd never really tackled anybody in a real game. It had always been just like drills, like tackle pads, that the likes of that. And I'd say, oh my God, looking back at the footage, it was horrendous. I don't ever want to find the huddle footage of back that game. But I suppose ignorance was bliss at the same time. I didn't know how much I didn't know. And now looking back, I think I'd be terrible. And I probably was terrible. I know I was terrible. But I suppose the coaches were very patient, the players were very patient, and a lot of the players, I suppose, at the time had transferred over to rugby, so kind of had a little bit more patience with you. Now, there were some that didn't have too many patience, and they'll know well who they are, and we'll have a joke about it. But generally, they were quite patient because they understood the transition over. But yeah, I remember that first game against Canada, and my first cap was against. Geez, I don't remember who it was against, but it was over in Russia for the Euros. And yeah, it was very special. It was very special because it's something that I never ever dreamed of. But yeah, it was a great moment.
Yeah, I can only imagine the pride that you must have felt like in an Ireland shirt for the first time representing your country.
Yeah, and I suppose sevens, I was quite proud of it, but it was probably more proud with my first 15s cap because I suppose I'd grown up, most of us had grown up like a As much as I was a Gaelic footballer, I'd gone down to Thomond Park to watch Munster play. I'd grown up with the likes of, Ronan O'Gara, Marcus Horan winning Champion Cups or Heineken Cups. So playing 15s was probably, I felt like a greater pride because more people knew about it. I feel like people were texting me, whereas I still feel sometimes sevens doesn't get the media coverage, doesn't get the media coverage that it deserves, probably due to the time zones and where the games are on. So people weren't texting as much as they were when it was my first cap for 15s. So it felt like a bigger deal. It was on RTE, and more people are tuned into 15s rugby, I suppose, which made it more special for me.
What do you think, Emer? What do you personally think is the biggest difference between sevens and 15s? Because obviously I'm too slow and a little bit tubby to have ever played sevens except for drunk down at Kinsale. But I would like I chat about it. I watch a lot of sevens, you know, I'd have my own opinions on the differences, but having played both, what do you think?
I think you need to have a skill. You have to be good at everything when you play sevens. Whereas in 15s, you can get away without being a good passer or without being a good rucker or without being a good tackler because it's, I suppose, you have someone there to do that job. Everyone has a really distinct role in 15s. Whereas I'm glad I started off with sevens because it allowed me to develop, I suppose, all elements of the rugby game that, like, as a winger, how often do you get to pass the game in a, pass the ball in a 15s game? Whereas in sevens, you probably, I don't know the stats now, but you definitely can pass the ball six or seven or eight times a game. You're going to ruck it over probably twice that. You're going to tackle twice that. So you get exposure to the key core aspects of the game. I suppose one at a high level, and you have to think quicker. There's an awful amount of space. So if you can tackle someone in that amount of space, if you can ruck the person 1v1, if you can pass a 10 or 15 meter pass in sevens, I suppose it just develops those skills. They're completely different games then when I suppose there's so much space in sevens to run into and try and manipulate. But with 15s, there's so little space. So your timings, your runs, your hard lines, the decisions you make have to be quicker because there's more people, I suppose, in attack and in defense. But I always say I'm glad I started off with sevens first just to develop those skills. I suppose someone who didn't play rugby to get thrown into sevens was a good way to learn the key components of the game.
Bjorn, when you were watching Emer play 15s, I suppose, for the first couple of times, what caught your eye about Emer as a player?
Oh, just her speed. As she said, you know, it's very easy for people, and it's a real basic thing, but that hand-eye coordination, especially, so she had the speed, she had the footwork. But I think it's to explain it to someone, the ability to catch the ball high in the air with an onrushing defense coming at you. A lot of people don't understand it till they watch, I suppose, games and you see people constantly, I suppose, knock on under pressure or get hit under pressure. But for me, Emer's ability and the calming effect with that high ball. To be able to catch it. Yes, obviously it wasn't all the time, but that's everyone in their skills. But it was something that I always noticed with her as a player that she just looked so calm and composed and was almost always in the right time, always in the right place. So it's judging that. And, you know, for someone she spoke about coming into rugby, I think that was something, Emer, you fairly developed early on. And it could have been that GAA background, but you seem to be very aware of where especially at 15 in the backfield, of where the ball was going to go and your positioning. Out like a round that was just absolutely superb.
Yeah, I think it kind of came from in like Camogie. I would always have been a back, and I would have always been the spare back. So you're playing the sweeper role, which is kind of you're almost anticipating where the ball is going to go. So as a 15, I felt like okay, they're on the right side of the field. They're going to kick it down this way, and you have like a 20 meter area where you think it's going to be. And it's about, I suppose, as the game developed, as my game developed as a fullback, it's about looking at the 10, looking at the 9, looking at the position, and if the 10 is going to shape up to kick or what leg they kick off, that you're kind of almost, you know what they're going to do before they actually do it. And it's just letting them think there's a bit of space in the backfield and then shutting it down before, as they've made the decision to kick, and they're kicking it straight to your hands. So I suppose it came from Camogie, but it also developed over time from, I suppose, just understanding how the opposition play and putting yourself in the best position in the backfield.
Can I just jump in there, Rory, as well? There's a question I've always asked people, and I'm probably going to put Emer on the spot here, but that were involved in that 2017 World Cup squad. So I would imagine, looking at the smile in your face in the last few months, especially with Ireland playing rugby, that was probably top end for you of enjoying the game, having like it showing on the pitch, playing a blinder. When I meet people from that 2017 squad, it's almost heartbreaking to hear them talk about how it went, how it unfolded. How did you feel, I suppose, towards the end of the tournament? And did it impact you continuing on with rugby? Was there something in your head that questioned it? Or were you like, no, I'm going to go and be better? Or how did you feel around it?
Do you know what? I feel like I'm completely different to a lot of those girls that that you would have been chatting to, just because they were such part of such a successful Irish team. And the way that the World Cup ended in 2017 was so disappointing. It's a home World Cup. The way we placed, we didn't qualify for the next World Cup, and we all know how that went. So I suppose it left a really bad legacy, and we wanted to leave a good legacy on home soil. So I think the disappointment, it ended up being a complete flop essentially for women's rugby, and it was almost the start of the end. And it, I feel I came into Irish women's rugby when it was at that low point. That was my first year coming into the squad, and to me, I was getting my first cap that year. It was my first World Cup. It was my first time playing some of these teams. So I was in awe of so much of it. So a lot of my view of that World Cup was really rose-tinted, because I was just really grateful, really surprised. I got something that I never thought was going to happen. Whereas looking back now, I can see it was the start of the decline of women's rugby over the last few years. And like I joked that, like, I feel like I've been part of it for the entire, like, the as the Irish women's rugby went down, I feel like I've been part of that entire thing. So it was really nice to be part of something really special this season and being over in Canada. But seeing, and I said it to Gillian when I, Gillian McDerby, when I left, I was like, I know sometimes you don't notice the difference and the rate of change of something when you're in it. But from having not being in the Irish squad for 2 years, I don't think you understand the difference in everything, in player standards, in culture, in performance, in coaches, in resources, in attitudes towards women's rugby from the people at the top. It's just polar opposites. And I wanted her to just realize that what they've done so far is only just the start of that journey. And I suppose I was there for the bad, and I can see the good and where they're going and where they're going as a squad. But I think looking back to that 2017 World Cup, I'm in a really difficult situation, because it was really bad, and I know it was really bad from the outside looking in. But me, as someone who was getting their first experience representing their country, getting to play in a World Cup, was amazing. It really was. As much as the results didn't go our way, as much as a lot of stuff happened and things were said and things were done, but I suppose I went away then afterwards. I had always planned to take a career break from work. So that February, I had to make a decision, and I went away. I took a year off, and I played a bit of rugby out in Australia, and then came back and was really like energetic for rugby, and had probably one of my best seasons ever coming back after that year, that autumn 2018 into 19, was one of my most really enjoyable seasons. Probably because it was fresh and everything was new, and I was coming in with the new insight into how I wanted to play. A lot of players had gone. I was probably one of few players who had actually played in the World Cup. So you felt this sense of, I suppose, ownership, or a sense of, I was nearly one of the established players at that stage, even though I hadn't very many caps. But there was a lot of, I suppose, player turnover in that period of time with coaches and with players. So I felt I had like this added element of confidence after that year off as well, and just a vibrancy for the sport again.
Well, that is it for part one of this week's episode of The Red 78. To listen to the full episode, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.